Some men hunt for sport, others hunt for food. The only thing I'm hunting for is an outfit that looks good. See my vest made from real gorilla chest. See this sweater, there's no better than authentic Irish setter. See this hat, 'twas my cat, my evening wear, a vampire bat. These white slippers are albino, African, endangered rhino, grizzly bear underwear, turtle's necks, I've got my share. Bray a poodle on my noodle, it shall rest. Try my red robin suit, it comes one breast or two. See my vest, see my vest, see my vest. Like my loafers, former gophers, it was that for skin my chauffeurs, but a greyhound for tuxedo would be best. So let's prepare these dogs guilty for matching cloths. See my vest, see my vest, see my vest. I really like the vest.
Yeah, I love that song.
Please don't feed me because I know what I want. Please deliver.
Welcome.
So, with that, welcome to another episode of Talking with Mar, or it should be Singing with Mar. And this week we're going to talk, this month, since this is monthly, we're going to talk about Banned Books Week, which is still going on, right? It's all weekend.
It ends today.
Tomorrow. Is it today?
I think.
Okay.
It started last Sunday.
Yeah. The first thing I was going to ask you is, did ALA start Banned Books Week? Or do you know?
It's, like, one of the official, like, ALA-recognized advocacy projects. The Office for Intellectual Freedom runs it. Offhand, I don't know how many years old. I want to say, like, at least 25.
Yeah, I noticed more people actually...
Google it!
More people actually using it more this year than in past years. Because previously, the only people I'd seen really use it a lot were ALA and the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like more people are
I think it's, like, more prominent this year. It's more common. I think also because you see, like, more widely publicized incidents of, like, challenged and banned books. Like, Florida, we had... How many counties now banned this one summer the graphic novel? Even from high school libraries, okay?
Which I still haven't read. Even though I checked
it out
like 8 times, I haven't read it yet.
It's really good.
It's that really big one, ain't it?
It's kind of thick, but it's a quick read. Mm-hmm. It's a coming-of-age story, but people object to it because it has... The background story is that there's a health concern with the mother, and it seems, like, really tense between the mother and father, and they're on a summer vacation at the lake, and, like, I think she's, like, 13. The 13-year-old girl is, like, off with her friend, you know, exploring. And, you know, like, she has this tense situation at home. And then they're exploring and kind of, like, coming of age. And there's, like, there's another character that's pregnant. And, like, people were opposed to, like, that and the implications of sex in the book.
So, like, do you remember banned books being around when you were little? Because you're younger than me, but I don't remember them being around. Like, Banned Books Week is what I'm talking
about.
Well,
see, like, I don't know, because, like, I was never I never saw, like, displays for it or anything when I was younger. And, like, mind you, like, my family were, like, always big library users. When I was little, we had library cards for, like, 8 different libraries. But I will tell you, like, one of my all-time favorite books, like, this was my favorite book as a child. It is one of the most frequently challenged books, and it's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark by Alvin Schwartz. The greatest books ever.
Very good books.
They are really creepy urban legends compiled, and they have just these horrific drawings in them. They're so creepy. It's the greatest book
they're
ever.
They're creepy, but they're not really, like, graphic or anything, really.
No, they're not super graphic. Although one of my favorite stories in it is Harold, the scarecrow that comes to life. The farmers, like, beat on him and beat on him every day, and he comes to life, and he, like, he skins them and, like, dries out their skin on their
Mine's
roof.
The scarf one.
It's one of my favorite ones.
The scarf
one.
Oh,
Jenny
favorite.
And the Green Scarf.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. So that's my favorite one.
And, like, in a dark, dark woods, there was a dark, dark house.
Yeah, they're going to make movies of those.
Ah, Be Still My Heart.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I love the new editions, too. Like, they did new editions with artwork from Brett Hellquist, I'm probably not saying it. It's either HeartQuest or HellQuest. I have to look it up. But he's also the person that did the illustrations for the Lemony Snicket books. They're kind of sanitized, and it makes me a little sad. So I'm partial to the ones from, like, 1989 with the creepy drawings. Because I really liked disturbing books as a child, so...
You know, one of the things I find fascinating about when you look at banned books and stuff is, like, the stuff that's been challenged the most that people don't talk about. Like, the dictionary's been challenged a huge amount of time, and, like stuff like that that you would never think would be a challenge.
There's
book.
An Eric Carl book, and at the moment, which one it is escaping me, but it's, like... There's a page in it that has a nude man and woman, because I think it's supposed to be Adam and Eve in it. And Eric Carle is, you know, like, beautiful painted picture books and stuff. But it has this one part in it. That one's frequently challenged in a lot of places because of nudity. I've had copies of that book I've had to replace because people put stickers over, like, their genitalia area. Stuff like that. See, like, I haven't actually had to deal with, thankfully, a full-blown... challenge or censorship request. Myself, my library system has faced a censorship issue in the last decade, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. But, you know, like, luckily I've had a lot of people that have brought up things as a concern, and usually they just kind of want to air their grievance. They don't want to, like, take it very far. But I've had books be vandalized a lot, and a lot of them be stolen and stuff. Like, the same ones over and over again are stolen, like The Perks of Being a Wallflower and Go Ask Alice and Fahrenheit 451. And I had somebody went through my entire series of the Vampire Academy books, and they blacked out every swear word in every single one.
That's a lot of effort.
They read the entire series.
That's a lot of effort to black out, like, cuss words and stuff.
Yeah. So just, like, stuff like that. And I had today, I have a banned books week display in my YA area. I've never really had problems with doing a display for it. More frequently, people get confused. They think I am telling them they are not allowed to read the books. So it opens up a dialogue, too. But the number one most challenged book for this past year was Beyond Magenta, and its profiles of transgender and, like, genderqueer kids and teens. And that one's been challenged, like, number one. I had that on my display face out all week, and nobody touched it or anything. But today, somebody was in the library, and every time I walked past that display, the book was face down on the table. I'd put it back up, and then I'd come back through, and it was face down on the table again.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier, and my thing was, like, I can just imagine this person, and my thinking would be, well, you're doing your job of going back and putting it back up.
Yeah,
this person on their own time is walking around and keeps putting this book down. It's
know,
so pathetic.
My mom wasn't super busy today either, so I have no idea who did it. I have a problem with the fact that my youth services area is one giant room, and the teen area is kind of in a corner of it, and we keep it separate, but it's all one giant room. So frequently I have younger children that hang out in my teen area and parents that hang out with younger children in the teen area. And that's where, like, more of the concerns I get from people are, is like, they're like, oh, is this appropriate for the kids area? And I have to explain to them, no, this is actually the teen area and everything is clearly marked as young adult.
You know, going back to something before, I'd like for you maybe to talk on that I've heard people get confused about, is the difference between a book being banned and challenged. Because challenge doesn't mean a book's going to be banned or anything else. No, can you explain the process that, like...
Challenge is when somebody objects to the content in a book. We've had several challenges in our school system this year. There were parents that brought up, like, a CSI book that was in one of the elementary schools. And also, Toni Morrison's books were frequently challenged at the high school that I directly service. And so people bring up a challenge saying, you know, like, I don't think this book is appropriate for XYZ. More frequently, they happen in school libraries because people are concerned about, like, what kids are exposed to. And that's perfectly fine, you know, in a democratic society with free dialogue. You know, people are allowed to say, like, hey, I don't like this book. But when it gets ugly, when it's wrong, is that when you start saying, well, I don't like this book, and therefore nobody else should be allowed to read it. That's when you get into censorship, and when one opinion starts dominating everyone else's. So
that's like Neil Gaiman calls this a stir even among the librarians, when he always says there's nothing wrong with challenging a book.
Absolutely nothing wrong with
a challenge.
Because that
creates dialogue when people challenge books.
You have your, you know, people have their First Amendment right to express themselves, and that includes dissent. So you can dissent and say, like, I don't agree with this being there. And, you know, that's super important to keep in mind, is that we're allowed to dissent in all contexts, because some people in this country seem to forget that. Cough, presidential candidate, cough.
But, like, people also in this country do not understand what censorship is. They don't understand what it really is.
Yeah, and censorship, it really only applies when the government is restricting your access to information. So, like, as a public library, we are paid for by taxpayers. We are paid for by your money. If we start pulling books off the shelf because we object to the content in them, like, say, a certain racy novel called 50 Shades of Grey. I can't even get it out because this was so ridiculous. But, you know, if we pull a book off the shelf for ideological reasons, because we don't approve of it, we've just censored content from people.
And that's different than, say, Barnes & Noble, who was to choose, if they did, to not carry a book. That's not censorship, because it's a store, really. Not true censorship.
Yeah, I mean, true censorship is when the government is, like, taking away your right to information and your right to dissent. They're taking away, you know, if you want to say something and they're telling you no. Outside of that, it's really not, like, a violation of the First Amendment if somebody tells you to shut the fuck up.
It really goes back to the thing, like, where a lot of people think it's violating your First Amendment rights when a job says you can't say certain stuff or fires you for certain reasons. And really, a job can. There's no law that says jobs can't do it.
There's really not. You know, you're not really protected if, you know, you start saying racist shit on your Facebook page, which, like, everybody seems to do, and they keep their pages public. But, you know, if you're making your company look bad, they're totally within their right to fire you. And also, that also has to do with the fact that, you know, we've chopped away at a lot of workers' rights, too. Like, that's a secondary issue. You know, most places are right-to-work states. They're union busting and stuff like that. Like, the state we live in is, quote-unquote, a right-to-work state, which really actually just means that employers have the right to fuck you over royally here. You can be let go for absolutely no reason.
Another thing that fascinates me about the whole banned books thing that people don't get is, like, another of the top books that's banned is the Bible. Yep. It gets banned a lot and always
constantly
has in this country. And a lot of the people that goes after books most are Christians in this country do ban books for the most part. And it's like, don't you see that your own book, your own holy book, has gotten banned for a lot of the same reasons?
Well, see, they turn that into their being persecuted.
Yeah. But, like, it's like that whole understanding thing, because the Bible is full of really bad violence and really sexual
content.
Which,
if you've never seen it, there's a brick Bible. It's, like, scenes from the Bible made out of Lego. Like, I highly recommend it. If you've never seen it. There's also, like, an American History one that has, like, the JFK assassination in Lego.
And
totally recommend it.
And 9/11, ain't it?
Oh my god, yeah.
It did have 9/11,
didn't it?
Oh my god. That Lego book did.
Awful.
If I ain't mistaken, I think it did. Which horrific. I'm surprised that book's never gotten in trouble.
I know. I've actually always kind of wondered about that. But no, that actually is true, is that along with the list of the most frequently challenged ones, the Office for Intellectual Freedom from ALA, they also list, like, why the book was challenged. And most often it's unsuitable to age groups, so people are challenging books to, you know, like, protect the children. Air quotes.
What did I say about air quotes?
Not to do them for air quotes. But also religious viewpoint, and this actually is going to tie into another thing that's been happening in the last week, but also homosexuality, like, by itself is a category that is, like, most often.
Oh, yeah. When I first hear, like, a book's banned, I'm like, okay, it
had a gay character. Does it have gay people in it? Yeah.
Because that's usually what it is.
Yeah.
It's usually a gay character.
And actually, this year's top 10 list, like, overwhelmingly, they are either diverse characters in the books or they are diverse authors. So, LGBT, people of color, international authors, so things like that. One of the books, I think, is set in Afghanistan, so people challenge that and, like, all kinds of stuff. So it's really, you know, protecting your right to read a variety of things, and also to make sure that minority groups are not censored. You know, their voice is not blocked out. Because if you look at the list of the books that are challenged, it's people that challenge the status quo of, like, white privilege, basically, straight privilege, male privilege, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But something that came up this week was, like, oh my god, are you serious? Like, right before Banned Books Week.
We're going to go there, ain't we?
We're going to go there. So, Voya, we're looking at
Explain
you.
Explain what Voya is.
Voya is it's an industry journal for librarians. It's called Voice of Youth Advocates. It's been around for quite a while. It's a professional resource. I've used it for my work with teenagers. They have great content. However, this is the second time this year where they've had, like, really, you know, stuff you look at and you're like side eye. But this time around was earlier this year, there was a review of a book that had a character who is bisexual in it. However, that was their identity, but they weren't involved in sex scenes in the book. I haven't read this book myself yet. I have it on hold at the library now. But their sexuality was not really active in the book. They were not sexually active, or at least the sex scenes that were involved in the book were actually of a heterosexual couple.
And even the reviewer didn't try to say they were.
But the reviewer had a line in the review that said, it was like, this book is recommended for older teens due to the frequent mentioning of the character being bisexual.
Yeah.
And foul language. And it's like, okay, so the mentioning of them being bisexual, like, not even them having sex with, mm-hmm. like, multiple partners or, like, partners of different genders or anything like that. You know, like, just the mention that they identify as bisexual was enough for you to be
like... Yeah, the reviewer actually hung themselves by their own review.
Yeah.
Because their review was actually... It wasn't like some reviews, which are so convoluted and stupid... That you're like, did they mean this or not? No, the reviewer stated it very cleanly that they were saying this wasn't appropriate because it just had a gay character.
And you have that happen a lot, too, is that a lot of people are like, oh, well, it has homosexuality in it, so, like, it goes in teen and not JF. The book George by Alex Gino that has a genderqueer child in it, the character is trying to come to terms with it. They don't really know the word transgender or anything, but... They don't feel like they match, you know. That book's, I've read it, it's written at, like, it's like a fourth grade reading level or something. It's not a super hard book, but a lot of people were like, oh no, it's got, you know, this content, so it's gonna go in teen. It's like, it's not for teenagers, it's for children.
With Jazz Jennings, like, picture book, ain't it?
Yeah. And Jazz has a picture book too, which that's another problem, is that they made her white in the book. Like, she's not white. You know, come on, guys.
She's very clearly white in that book, too.
She's super white in that book. And it's like, guys, come on. You know, like, you're doing good. Like, be consistent. But for some people, it's just like, oh, it's got this content in it. It's got to go in teen. Well, no, these books aren't necessarily for teenagers. And this reviewer was like, oh, okay, the character's bisexual. It's got to be for older teens because, like, that equals explicit content, even though the explicit content was actually with heterosexual couples. And Voya just dug themselves into a hole because the review kind of gained popularity and views, like, actually during Bisexual Awareness Week, which was, like, the week before Banned Books Week. And they dug themselves into a gigantic hole because they just wouldn't apologize for having an insensitive review. They were just, like, they doubled down on everything, and they started insulting people.
Started deleting tweets.
Yeah, which that's not censorship if, like, you know, they... But it makes you look bad.
Yeah, it's stupid is what it is. Know. Whenever companies do that, it's just like, why you have a social media platform and then you're going to use it mainly... It's like I said, the reviewer hung themselves by their own stated article, a review. They continued to dig themselves
They wanted people to basically come in and do the work for them to figure out, like, you know, what's the proper terminology to use and, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, no, you're professionals. You should learn this.
And then their final
it's not up to minority groups to, like, educate you and make you feel better. That you need to do it.
And by the way, most people, and I've talked to people about this, about transgender issues, because I have a couple of friends that are transgender, and they're like, well, I'm so afraid to say something wrong. And it's like, I've never known one transgender person who would go off on somebody for saying something like their preferred pronoun. You know what I mean? Like, I've never known it. Most people are like, no, I'd rather be, or they don't say anything at all. So it's just used as an excuse, you know what I mean? To, like, continue to be mean to people and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, well, and what happened with the Voya thing, too, was, like, they kept misgendering people in the comments, too. And the people would point it out and say, like, you are calling me a man and I'm a woman and things like that. And they would, like, delete the tweets and continue misgendering them. So it's like, you know, we're not perfect. People misspeak. They might not understand the proper term for things. You know, like, I oversimplify things a lot of times when I talk because I got the idea in my head and maybe I'm just looking for, like, the easiest word to use or whatever. You know, like, we all fuck up, basically. You know, like, everybody fucks up. But you just own it, and if somebody says, like, okay, you called me this and I'm actually that, be like, all right, cool, I'm sorry, like,
and writers,
I'm gonna call you this from now on.
And these are writers, they were reviewers and stuff, always make the mistake, whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, when somebody points out something, your thing should be, I'm sorry, I'll do better in the future. I'll do better in the future. No, they don't want
to. This went on for like 4 days. I'm digging a bigger hole.
I think it would be better actually for authors to either do that, which is a simple thing to do, or just tell people to fuck off. No, they want to try to go on defensive to be like, I didn't do anything wrong. And that's like one of the things that the Voyager was doing. And they just kept... And it was one thing after another snowballing with them.
They just kept just really being aggressive with library professionals and LGBT advocates and writers and, like, everybody.
They shut down all their websites at one point. Like,
yeah, basically they went dark on everything.
And then, like, they said, well, we, which was their social media people, and I think one of the head editors of the place, we don't understand Facebook. We don't understand Twitter. Yeah.
They were like, we don't understand social media, and we don't understand what genderqueer is. And people are like, it's 2016, guys.
And then one of the editors went on her personal Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
Facebook.
She was, like, bitching about millennials and stuff. And it's like, LOL, you, like, write a magazine about serving young people. Maybe you should, like, retire.
And then it was actually
even
somebody...
Even, like, Roger from the Horn Book, like, was, like, tweeting at them, like, guys, what's going on, you know?
And people were... I just like David Luber, and he was basically like, I told y'all guys years ago that
people
were assholes.
Yeah, because there were, like, racist reviews last year, and David Luber was all over them about that.
I wouldn't want David Luber after me.
You know, the thing of it is like, it speaks volumes of the fact that groups that are maybe in the dominant position need to have more situational awareness of current social climate, things like that. You know, like, I might not speak perfectly about it, but, you know, if I fucked up and somebody tells me I fucked up, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all you have
and,
to say.
And not, I'm sorry your feelings were hurt. That's not an apology. I am sorry for what I said.
If it comes down to that situation, you might as well say what you mean. I don't care if your feelings were hurt. That's what that means,
actually. You might as well just be Jeremy Renner over here, and he'd be like, nah, fuck you.
Yeah, you might as well be.
Just be Jeremy Renner, okay?
At least that's honest if somebody said, I don't really give a shit. It's like, but these people keep digging holes and stuff like that. And before we get to the wrap-up point...
So, like, just tying that back to Banned Books Week, it was just a really interesting thing that right before Banned Books Week, they were just using all this horrific misgendering language and, you know, basically contributing to further self-censorship by librarians by saying, like, oh, this book's got the gays in it. Like, don't put it in your kids' section. Don't let the little ones read it. You know, it was just really fascinating that that happened at the same time.
To wrap stuff up, how about we both recommend a book that's been banned that we think is really, really good? You want to go first?
Well, there's one that's kind of, like, picking up a lot of bans lately. Eleanor and Park by Rainbow Rowell. I would really recommend
really?
That
Really? I didn't know it was getting a lot.
It's getting a lot of challenges.
I like that book. I don't see where it would have got me any challenges in it. What are they challenging it now?
Language?
Is it?
I mean, there's F-bombs at, like, all
over. Dude, yeah, but any
YA
book.
Fuck.
Which YA book doesn't? I guess James Patterson. He makes up these stupid
actually, yeah.
Words.
He purposely doesn't put swear words in his teen books, and he's, like, holier than thou about it.
We've seen him at a signing.
Oh, my God. He's such
an asshole. Him at a signing. It's the only time I've ever eye-rolled at a signing.
Oh, my God. He is the most pretentious piece of shit ever.
Oh, my God.
Hi, James.
I'm sorry. That's bullshit. Either... use cuss words or don't.
Yeah.
You're great. He's a really good writer. He can write stuff without using any kind of foul language.
There's another book that was really good. I enjoyed this series. It's by Kirsten White. It's Paranormalcy. And they don't swear in it. But one of the funny things that happens is there's a mermaid in it, but she's being kept in a tank. So she has, like, a voice, like a radio system that they can translate. And when she starts cussing underwater, before it comes out, they, like... they bleep her, so literally, like, the girl that's talking to her hears, like, you bleepin' bleep, like, and that was really funny. But in the James Patterson books, he has, like, a 15-year-old girl saying, I had some choice words for him. Like, you sound like a 60-year-old man who doesn't write his own books. Bye.
It's like, you're really smart, James Patterson. You don't have to do that. Like, it's so
I mean, you're smart enough to get other people to write your books for you, so.
Yeah, maybe he didn't write that.
Maybe he didn't write it. Chris Gravenstein, did you do it? I feel like I insult a lot of people.
Okay, the two books I'll recommend, since you did two, I'll
did I do two? I thought
yeah,
I only did one.
Did two. Oh, you want to do another one?
To my knowledge, Paranormalcy hasn't been challenged, but, like, I was just, like, commenting about the swear words thing.
Okay.
What, another one that's been challenged?
It's gonna be a big
I know, I'm looking at that line over there. I would really check out a lot of David Levithan's books. He also won a Margaret Edwards Award this year for contributions to young adult literature. He writes some fantastic books that feature a variety of characters, especially LGBT characters. And one of his books was on the top 10 list this year, Two Boys Kissing, which was also face down on my book display today, so.
I have that, but I haven't read it yet. I don't even know if I've read any of his books yet. I got a bunch of them to read, but I haven't
Boy
read
Meets
any.
Boy is fantastic because it's one of those books that,
No, I don't have Boy Meets Boy. I have the book he did with John Green.
Oh, Will Grayson.
Yeah, I have that.
Boy Meets Boy is fantastic because it's one of the few, books with LGBT characters in it where, like, it's almost not an issue. It's just another teen book. It's not... their identity is the issue, and that just makes me happy because there's so few books where, like, those kids get to be happy in them. There's so many books that you pick up, and if it has an LGBT character, you know, like, something tragic's gonna happen to them, and you get to the end of it, and you're like, God damn it, you know, why can't these kids be happy? Like, please write something where they're happy. So, like, Boy Meets Boy and Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, like, gay kids get to be happy. Yay!
I'm gonna my two recommended books that have been challenged at times are, the first one is Part-Time Indian.
I love Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian.
Which is one of my all-time favorite books, by the way. I love that book.
You know
book
why it's challenged? Because masturbation!
Yeah. It's a really good good book, though. It's really good. I recommend it. And it's written by somebody that writes in a style that is really easy to read. So I'd really recommend that.
And it's actually a book about a person of color written by a person of color.
Yep. But and that's a topic for another time I want to talk about, because that's a big thing right now. But my other book I want to read that's been not really, I don't think, challenged hugely, but a lot of people I've heard in bookstores say they want to put it on a shelf, is Bitch Planet.
I bought that for my library. Yay!
Or Kelly Sue
DeConnick.
It is such a good book. If you like
I haven't read it
dystopian type stories, it's really good. It's about a planet or a satellite, if I remember right, because there's only one trade to come out yet, because she's really...
There's another one coming out
soon. She said that she's not going to release a book until she deals with the issues properly, so she does.
That's
she's
great.
Doing a really good research on them, so there's only been one trade out, but it's basically like this colony prison for women.
Bitches, would you say?
Yep, because like if, and the whole thing is like non-compliant. If you see somebody with like an NC, that means non-compliant. And it's from the books. It's actually these fake ads that's in it where you can get. And non-compliant is like basically how they judge people. And if it's like women who are overweight, they're non-compliant. If they try to do stuff that men don't want them to or anything, basically you're non-compliant. And you can be sent to this prison.
I'm having a frightening like vision of like Trump of future. Like.
But it also has this weird thing. If you've ever seen the old Burt Reynolds movie that they remade.
Gator?
Not Gator. About the prison football team.
Yeah.
It actually has
the whole nine yards.
Yep. It actually has an element in that, because there's almost like this roller derby football thing in it that they end up doing.
You know how I love violence.
Yeah. It's a really good book. You should read it.
It's on my list because I started a collection of graphic novels in our general collection, because I have a kids and a teen one. So then I have ones out in the general area of like more adult interest. So I bought that and all the volumes of Sex Criminals that were out and Alias.
I have
and
two
Saga.
Of those, but I haven't read them yet.
Saga's the best. Oh, yeah. You should read Saga. That one's a pretty frequently challenged
is
book,
it?
Too.
No,
yeah.
I haven't even seen it yet. People challenge Saga because there's
I
like...
I love Saga.
What
I feel like
about
he's
Saga?
Trolling people at this point.
Yeah, because there's at least one scene in that book.
Like,
usually the very
dick.
First page that is like some new thing or something like
there's
that.
There's always a dick. Like, here you go.
What's so weird is the thing that got challenged the most is the very first cover of the book.
Yeah, where she's breastfeeding.
She's breastfeeding
yep.
and stuff in it. Have you ever seen the deluxe hardback of that?
Oh, it's yeah. It's just like
the
tit. No, I love it.
But yeah, that's a very good book.
Saga is another excellent challenge book that you should also read.
Yeah.
And you can get many of these titles at your local library.
Yep. Go to your local library. If they're a bigger branch library, you can give them suggestions and they might order stuff. But yeah, I would... and ask about the banned books weeks.